Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In John chapter 12, we read where certain Greeks came to Philip, the disciple of Christ, and expressed their desire. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now we're assuming that those who listen have a similar desire. The greatest need of our world, whether we realize it or not, is for men and women and boys and girls to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to present the first of two lessons entitled I Am that are intended to help us who desire to see Him as He is and to know Him better. His way is the untried and rejected way, yet the certain and sure way of life. In Jesus' debate with the Jews that are recorded in John 8, the Jews relied heavily on their fleshly descendancy from Abraham as proof and evidence of their acceptance by Jehovah God. Jesus sorely rebuked them for not acting like children of Abraham. He said, "If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." And in verse 44, he accused them of being of their father, the devil, because of the wicked ways in which they lived. And he further startled them by making the claim in verses 56 through 58, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now his claim is clear. Even though he was not yet 50 years old in the flesh, he existed before Abraham, who had lived nearly 2,000 or more years earlier. He makes the claim of being an eternal one. It is a claim of deity, an identification of himself with the very phrase used by Moses to identify God before the Israelites in Exodus 3 and verse 14, "I am that I am." By this claim, he asserts to have existed and declares he is the Divine One. His pre-incarnate state is clearly affirmed by his own words. Now, such affirmation is in harmony with other passages concerning him to show the deity of Jesus Christ. This is one of the 8 times recorded that Jesus used the phrase, "I am." This is the only time by which he declares his eternal existence as the Divine One by that phrase. The other 7 instances involve metaphors and allegories, comparisons and instances where he presents himself in terms and images of something else readily understood. He used figurative language, and by doing so, Jesus greatly simplified himself. He made himself and his nature and his mission and his relationship to his disciples more easily grasped. Now our study shall center on these 8 occasions, 4 in this first lesson, and the last 4 in the lesson number 2. Now, we've already noted the first instance when he teaches his deity. Also in John chapter 6, on the day following the miracle of feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the multitudes came to him again. They came not so much from a belief in him, but to obtain more food, as is evidenced by Jesus' own words in John 6 and verse 26. Where he said their motive was more for the material than for the spiritual benefit. This sounds much like those today who seek Jesus for material gain, following the distorted appeal of some religious teachers that Jesus will make you rich, give you a better house, a better car, a better job, and such things as that. But Jesus used the occasion to admonish how men ought not work primarily for just the physical nourishment, but rather for that food which was unto eternal life. He was teaching priorities. In John 6 and verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Had he not taught in Matthew 4 and verse 4, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Recalling the time when Israel was sustained in the wilderness by the manna that God provided, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Again in verses 48 through 51, Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus is teaching that man must have the proper spiritual food to have spiritual life. This food comes from the Father. This bread is He. This bread is a person. This bread is Christ. He declares that He is from heaven. He came from the Father. He is the bread that imparts eternal life. He is the true bread, in contrast to the manna the Israelites had in the wilderness. He is the living bread that provides life. And all who would obtain this life must come to Him. That which He offered, namely Himself, is that upon which we must feed our spirits. Again in John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. A similar statement is recorded in John 9 and again in John 12. The word light is often used in Scripture in contrast to darkness that shows the contrast between righteousness and unrighteousness. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show for the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, Paul reminds his brethren that they had been delivered out of darkness. In 1 John 1 and verse 7, John wrote, But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. John the Baptist had identified Jesus as the light in John 1, 7 through 9. God sent the light, because the deeds of men were evil, and that light that He sent is Christ. Now from these passages we see that people are in the darkness of sin, sometimes loving darkness even more than light, as Jesus expressed in John 3:19. But Christ illuminates. When Christ is the ruler of our hearts and lives, the darkness of sin is driven from us. To be illuminated, we must obey His will and follow His instructions, and the result will be eternal life. It is noteworthy that in John 9 and verse 5, Jesus said, As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Christ has been driven out of the hearts and lives of so many, and yet He is the one that lights the way to heaven through His sojourn here on earth. Alongside this, Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 5 and verse 14, Ye are the light of the world. We're lights in the sense that we reflect the light of Christ in our lives. Matthew 5:16 urges that we let our light shine that God may be glorified. Galatians 2 and verse 20, we are to let Christ live in us. Ephesians 5 and verse 8, what were written to Christians, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In John chapter 10, Jesus twice uses the phrase, I am, in teaching the parables relating to the sheep and the sheepfold. We'll consider one of these occasions now, and hope to consider another in a future lesson. First, let us read from John chapter 10, the first 10 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. And then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now you will notice that Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. Here he asserts his authority by claiming to be the entrance into the sheepfold through which the sheep must pass into safety and security. Now, obviously, this is a figurative term. In chapter 9, we read of the man born blind who received his sight at the Lord's hand, and he became a believer. Jesus' enemies sought to negate this miracle. They had already agreed that anyone who confessed Christ to be the Christ must be expelled from the fellowship of the synagogue. Therefore, this man was cast out. By declaring himself as the door, Jesus shows how the Jews had assumed authority to which they had no right. Actually, Jesus is the passageway to the favor of God, and the Jews could not presume to admit or exclude anyone. Nor can anyone do so today except by the authority of the Word of God. Jesus further stated in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall not go in and out and find pasture. The same sentiment is expressed in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, there are several important points we must gain from all of this. Friend, Jesus is the sole avenue to God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved, the preaching of the Apostle Peter in Acts 4 and verse 12. You can see what this does to every faith, every religion, and every church that is not of Christ. Also through him there is protection and provision and liberty, spiritual sustenance, because he is the way into the Lord's sheepfold. Others who presume to admit or exclude on any basis other than that of Jesus Christ make the attempt to usurp his authority. The doctrine that they are Christians faithfully serving God in the denominational world is to assert that there are other doorways than Christ. There are not many ways to be saved, friend. With each having the right to choose the way he prefers, where does one get that idea? Well, I don't know. But I know he doesn't get it from the Bible. The door is open to all, but everyone must enter that way, or he does not enter. Now, by these phrases, I am, we can better understand the nature and the mission of Christ and our relationship to him, as well as the advantages of being in Christ. By and through him we have life, for he's the bread of life. By and through him we can live apart from sinful darkness of this world, because he is the light of the world. He has all authority, and he is the only door through which people can pass to receive the spiritual provisions God offers. All of this is founded on the fact that he is the ever-existing Eternal One, deity, who took on the form of flesh. We shall discuss the other instances when Jesus used the phrase, I am, in our second lesson. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.